You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Up Bison fans, and welcome to a Victory Friday edition of Bison Report Radio. I am your host, Ross Uglum, the publisher of that very fine website for 24/7 Sports. And this is a very exciting day with North Dakota State absolutely choking the life out of St. Thomas, one of the teams that was ahead of them in the Summit League standings. The women keep rolling too, my goodness. Absolutely crushing the Tommies on the road. NDSU really grabbing a stranglehold. The women absolutely grabbing a stranglehold on that number two seed. And I would say, you know, the men looking at the Summit League standings, I don't know if they control their own destiny towards the number two seed, but with home contests coming up here against both South Dakota State and UND, it seems to me like it would be unlikely that if NDSU were to win out, and that is at home against USD, or excuse me, at home against South Dakota State, at home against UND, and on the road at USD, who did beat them in Fargo, but is still one of the worst teams in the league. I do believe if NDSU were able to get 10-6, deal UND a loss, deal South Dakota State a loss, they would find their way into the number two seed and avoid having to play Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, get that Saturday game, get the 2-7, and be able to get that day off. That win in Denver would sure be nice right now when they were up 52-32 in the second half. That win in Denver would be pretty tremendous right now. But just the way that this league is, the way that things are, likely, I would say, to shake out, I think it would be tremendously unlikely for NDSU to win their next three games, finish 10-6, beat South Dakota State, beat UND, and just find no way to the number two seed. I truly, truly believe that would be unlikely. No good news, bad news today. Bad news being that you will not hear the dulcet tones of our Bison Report men's basketball analyst and my good friend Nate Zastro. What that does mean is that pitching in for him today is none other than the voice of the herd and someone that has never made a Bison Report radio appearance, and that is Sam Niederman. We are going to attempt to get Sam on the phone right now. As I've mentioned, we have not had the opportunity. We got to get you down into the studio here in beautiful Horace, maybe for a Summit League tournament preview, but very excited to bring on Sam Niederman. Knew your two predecessors very well, and just got to say you're doing an excellent job as the voice of the Bison.
Hey, thanks, Ross. I appreciate that. It's great to be here, man. Really nice to connect, and it's been a fun year one so far. So excited to what these last couple of weeks of Bison hoops and Summit League basketball is going to hold.
Absolutely. If you don't mind, our audience, I'm sure we have a ton of overlap, obviously, with us, being heavy on football and men's basketball, those being the two sports, you know, that you call. But just a quick kind of how you got to Fargo, your background, and just like a 2-minute Sam Niederman bio, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how it all happened, because actually I was thinking about this last night. So my first sort of knowledge of NDSU was probably more so with the men's basketball program than the football program, as crazy as that sounds.
That would be
because
rare.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, in 2014, I filled out a bracket like everybody does for March Madness, and I picked the Bison to go to the Final Four. If you recall, that was the year NDSU beat Oklahoma. We were a 12 seed back then, and I was obsessed with KenPom at the time, which is the efficiency stats for college basketball. And I think NDSU had a really strong offensive efficiency rating, and I saw that. They were 12. I was trying to find a Cinderella, see if I could, you know, hit a long shot. And I was like, oh, I'll go for these guys. So that was the first time that I had kind of been exposed to the Bison live and in person. And I remember jumping up and down when Lawrence Alexander hit the big three to tie the game at the end of regulation, and then of course NDSU won it overtime, but not quite a Final Four run, but a pretty fun moment. Obviously knew about the football program, you know, just by the reputation that it holds, the national brand, and knew of the FCS run that NDSU's been on, and the great players who have come through, Carson Wentz, Trey Lance, etc. So but yeah, coming to Fargo, I mean, once the opportunity presented itself almost a year ago at this time, right? At the end of the spring, knew it was something I would really be interested in for this stage of my career. And thankfully was able to earn the opportunity through the interview process. And here we are. So came over from Stony Brook, New York, Stony Brook University on Long Island. That's where I was for the last 2.5 years before coming out to NDSU. And the rest is history, man. It's been a really exciting year one.
You're kind of thoughts, I guess, and I don't know how much background you had in the Summit League, but this is a league, I got to tell you, that 2 years ago had an unbelievably dominant South Dakota State club that I wouldn't say, you know, walked to the NCAA tournament, but faced very little resistance. And then, of course, last year's Oral Roberts team went undefeated in the league as well. So there had never been, even the great, you know, 2009, 2014 NDSU teams, which I think before Oral Roberts, that 14 NDSU team was the first Summit League team, or the last Summit League team to win an NCAA tournament game. Even some of the great, great Summit League teams that earned 12 seeds or 13 seeds in the NCAA tournament had not gone undefeated through the league, and then two teams do it in a row. We are nowhere even in the ballpark of anybody going undefeated
No.
in the Summit League right now. What have been your kind of impressions of the level of basketball in this league coming from, you know, kind of East Coast ball, and just the insanity that you see on a nightly basis, not only from the league, but from this young team?
Yeah, Ross. I mean, you look at the standings and it looks like the NFC South, right? I mean, 9-4, 9-4, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6. I think it's probably 10 wins could get it done. That might not be enough. I would say 11. It's a race to 11. And right now it'd be SDSU and UAD who are at the driver's seat. But yeah, it's been a crazy year. Obviously, everybody talks about the parity. After off the heels of, as you just referenced, 2 back-to-back 18-0 regular season league champs with the Jackrabbits and Oral Roberts. But I would say that it's a fun league to be a part of. Is it, you know, obviously it's a sweepstakes for a 16 seed here in the NCAA tournament and a trip to Dayton. I think that's pretty much all but guaranteed for the winner at this point, barring some major shakeup across the country and other leagues. But you know, coming out from the CAA, like CAA is a really good league in basketball. Prior to that, Stony Brook played in the America East, which is, I would say, one of the bottom 6 leagues in the country, maybe even bottom 5 or 4. That's the league that had UMBC, first 16 seed to win when they beat Virginia. Yeah, but I would say Summit League's better than America East by a margin for sure. Not quite as good as like a CAA. Which had some pretty good quality up and down, you know, that league that had previously produced teams like VCU, Old Dominion, that type of thing. George Mason, those teams have since moved up to the A-10. But you look at Summit this year, and I think it's been so fascinating because it really lost all of its top players to the portal. Like that's the headline coming into the league for this year and for so many other mid-major leagues. Losing Grant Nelson for NDSU, Max Asemus for Oral Roberts, Vanover for Oral Roberts, Rohde for St. Thomas. All of those guys are playing at really high-level programs that are perennial top 25 teams every single year. Kansas City lost their top two scorers to the Power Five. So there is a lot of meat cut off the bone in terms of the talent in this league. There still is a good amount of talent. But experience, right? How many teams have a ton of experience? I would say SDSU has the best experience in the league. I think NDSU, albeit still pretty young in the grand scheme of things, has the best roster and depth in the league. I think they're one of the only teams really outside of SDSU with a true eight-man rotation that brings in a solid three off the bench. But all that being said, it's made for a fun hodgepodge in the standings. I think it's going to be very fascinating, especially after last night when we're having this conversation with NDSU beating St. Thomas, the race for the one seed. You know, right now SDSU technically has the inside track with the head-to-head over UND. But from a Bison perspective, the good news is they have those two teams who remain in front of them on the schedule, and both of them at home. So everything's still in front of North Dakota State. It's a matter of, can they put together their best ball here down the stretch and put themselves in the best seat possible for Sioux Falls?
Yeah, we'll get into some of that in a second here. I mean, and it's tough, right? Because, you know, Grant Nelson is from North Dakota, and that makes you, as a Bison fan, kind of wish cast. It's like, man, what could this team be? It's like, wow, what could Oral Roberts be if they still had Max? You know, what would South Dakota State have looked like these last couple of years if Baylor doesn't go to Creighton? You know, and you can kind of ifs and buts and candies and nuts this whole thing. And I think eventually when the team in this league that figures out the NIL space the fastest, or figures out player retention the fastest, I think is going to be the team that kind of finds itself at the top for the future, because unless and until there's something done with NIL, it's going to be very difficult for programs to find like a Bowden Skunberg that is that loyal, or at least is, you know, I mean, maybe if Bo was an inch taller or a little bit quicker or this, that, or the other thing, and who knows what kind of offers even a player of his caliber is getting, trying to find the type of player that can help you win games, but that you can also retain, is sort of like this magical beast that you're searching for. And it's difficult. But the last time that we spoke to our listeners was, unfortunately, immediately after the big road win in Tulsa and immediately before the things that happened in Denver. That was frustrating. And I want to ask you about that Denver game and kind of their response, but also that is not an uncommon occurrence. Nate and I have talked about how many, truly every game, except for maybe South Dakota, where there was a time in the second half where NDSU had a multiple possession lead and either won the game or didn't. And I know that sounds dumb, but like up 9 super late against UND in Grand Forks, up 20 in Denver, up 4 at home against Denver at the under 4 in the second half and lost that game by 8 somehow. Have you felt the frustration with a team that, in my opinion, could in a very, very, very similar alternate universe be a 2-loss or a 3-loss team?
I think it's a good point, Ross. I think that is like the missing puzzle piece right now for the Bison, and they've got to find it here if they want to win a championship, and that's the closer's mentality. I mean, you mentioned all those games. The other one that you didn't even mention, right, was Omaha at home. I mean, they won that game, but for goodness sake, that was a 13-point game with 5 minutes to play. And the next thing you know, you look up and you're like, is Omaha going to have a chance to win this thing with a three? And you know, Frankie Fiddler just off the mark. If he makes that, that's an utter and total collapse. So, yeah, heart attack heard, right? I mean, we've had all these overtime games this year. A couple of those overtime games, NDSU led late. And thankfully, we're able to pull it off. But I look at the SDSU game. I mean, you're up by three, and then Mayo bangs a three from 35 feet out to tie the game. And next thing you know, you got to battle it out in overtime. Same thing at home against Kansas City. Jamar Brown hits a three to tie the game. You're up by three and let up another triple. So that comes to mind. So does the Omaha game on the road. NDSU led that game by eight in the second half.
Yep.
Had the ball with a chance to win at the buzzer and couldn't get a shot off. And then I ended up losing it overtime. So, yeah, the close games, that's been a theme. You referenced Denver. That was an utter collapse. I think from an NDSU perspective, better now to do it than in the tournament. I think if it's a tournament game, Dave Richmond calls a timeout in that scenario. He didn't call timeout when Denver was making its big comeback. They hit four threes in a row to go from down six to down three to tie to lead and then to go up six. And this is after an NDSU miss or turnover, right? Four consecutive possessions. Jim's going crazy. Place is just off the train tracks at this point. But no timeout from coach. And I think he wanted to see how the guys would respond in the moment, see if they would sink or swim. And unfortunately, we all know what the end result was. They weren't able to regather and come out with a victory. But I think it was one of those games where, okay, you learn that you cannot blink against a team like Denver that's got a guy who can fill it up in Bruner. And you've really got to play sound in all areas if you want to win a Division I college basketball game, especially on the road. I mean, they turned the ball over 14 times in that game. They scored 9 points in the final 16 minutes of the game. Like, that won't cut it. They scored, I think, against UND on the road. What was it? You mentioned up by nine with just under eight to play.
Yeah.
I think the Bison scored 7 points in that final 7 minutes of the game. They've got to find a way to close better. I definitely think that's the last missing piece for this club.
So I wonder, and this has been kind of a question, or a question's not even probably the right word. Do you feel like coach kind of takes into account at all what we just talked about with this is without question, and that this is every year thing. I mean, he and I have joked about what would have to happen for the Summit League to be a two-bid league.
Right.
You know, I mean, it would have been basically, you know, Oral Roberts last year with like two more super impressive non-conference wins than they had, losing in double overtime in the championship game, right? Outside of that, ain't happening. So it's a one bid league, and now as you and I have discussed, not only is it a one bid league, they're not getting a 15. I mean, unless some absolutely crazy stuff happens, they're not even getting a 15. So do you feel like some of that goes into like not taking a timeout in Denver and understanding that really, however this thing shakes out, we're going to have to win three times in Sioux Falls. So let me see what my guys are made of.
100%. You nailed it right there on the head, Ross. I mean, there's a method to Coach Richmond's madness. I think that was exactly it. He wanted to see how the team would respond to the moment. And yeah, I think that's why you can experiment a little bit in the regular season, right? When you know, all right, we're not walking this postseason tightrope quite yet. And why don't we? It's almost like practice harder than you play, right? Like on the road in Denver in the middle of February. I'm not saying that's harder than a Summit League tournament, but, you know, that's a little more of a hectic environment and just the way that everything was unfolding that I think we'll see in Sioux Falls. So, yes, Coach Richmond always says he starts with the end in mind, right? It comes down to those three games in Sioux Falls. It comes down to one bid, right? Everybody's scrapping for that one chance to get to the big dance, and you got to have one really, really good weekend. So I think that that's why we've seen NDSU here in the regular season, you know, tinker with some things, tinker with some lineups. They've made a clear pivot in terms of style of play. I mean, Ross, like in January, this team was giving up 85 points a game in the month of January. 85 points a game. They have only allowed 68 points a game in February. I mean, you're talking about a 17-point difference right there in terms of scoring defense, and that's including a couple of overtime games where you pad on a little bit. So they've made a clear change. They seem to have found a formula, and how often do we say it with Bison basketball, right? Here they come, February and March. It's another Coach Richmond special. So they're definitely – I think they took away some things against Denver. I think it was good for it to happen. You know, Coach told me he didn't like the way they even finished the game against Oral Roberts. So it's good that you, you know, kind of did get the result that sort of wakes you up a little bit and lets you know you haven't arrived yet, even though, you know, you win that game and all of a sudden you're putting the league on notice, right? You've won four in a row, and it's like, uh-oh, here comes NDSU. NDSU's feeling good at the right time. So I think it's all there. It's all in front of them. But yeah, to your point, I think that certain scenario and knowing that this all comes down to Sioux Falls, that does allow for a little bit of, all right, let's see what our guys can do in this type of moment.
Yeah, we worked with a company called Breaking Tea, or I sent them an idea and they actually printed it. So there are, if anybody wants to go check it out, we've seen them in the stands before, but the January, February, Dave, April.
yeah.
And that was,
I love it.
And that was something where, you know, we, like I said this earlier in the season, that I'm not worried about this team at the time because they were scoring. Now, there have been nights where they don't score. Now, you know, it's always something, right? It's always something. But I said, if this team doesn't learn how to guard, they'll be the first Dave Richmond team ever that doesn't eventually learn how to guard. So early in the season when they were giving up 86, 91, 83, whatever, that was not as concerning to me because it seems like eventually it always gets figured out. And that's a dangerous thing to sort of count on. But again, to me, eventually things like that seem to always get figured out. I've said, kind of wonder what that last thing is. Do you feel like maybe, and I think Bowden is, of course, the closest thing to this, you know, maybe Morgs is, and maybe the fact that I even just said maybe is the problem, or not the problem, but kind of the mystery, because you go into Omaha and, you know, well, Frankie Fiddler's that dude. You go to South Dakota State and, you know, well, I mean, Zeke Mayo is that dude. Denver has Tommy Bruner, who just gave them 40. USD, even, they're not having a successful season, but they have Caleb Stewart. Last year, everybody knew who the guy was. It's Grant Nelson. Do you think NDSU has to kind of rally behind a guy, or do you think that just doesn't matter?
I'm glad you brought that up. I think it's a really interesting debate, Ross, because like I said earlier, I think NDSU has the best depth and roster in the league, pound for pound. Like if you ask any coach in a conference like about North Dakota State, they're like, oh yeah, like there's a lot to game plan for. Like there isn't necessarily the guy, right? Bonafide, Mayo, or Fiddler, or Nelson, but it could be any guy. Morgan is becoming the focal point, but how often do you know, do you go into your post guy for the last shot, right? You know, how often does that, and how often will that be available, right? I think we're going to see teams, if I'm another team in the Summit, I'm trying everything in my power to try and get 23 in foul trouble the rest of the way. If I'm UND on Saturday, that's what I'm thinking. If I'm USD, SDSU, or whoever NDSU plays in the postseason, I would imagine that's a priority for the opposition. And we saw that last night against St. Thomas, right? He had four fouls, incredibly efficient with the 21 minutes of work that he got. He had 17 points in 21 minutes. But it could have been a lot more had Morgs been on the floor. I just picked up a couple too many whistles. And thankfully, that hasn't been an issue for NDSU this year. But going back to your original question, you mentioned Bowden. I think Bowden is the key to all this at the end of the day for NDSU. I think he's going to have an opportunity to step up and knock down a big shot. You know, he's taken the last two shots in a couple of games where there's a buzzer-beating situation this year. The Western Michigan season opener, he had an absolutely fantastic look. Didn't go, but Jeremiah Burke tipped it in to send the game to overtime. Same thing at South Dakota State. He goes down, pulls up, had a nice look from mid-range. Didn't go, Noah Feddersen tips it in, and that proves to be the game-winning basket. So he's been right there, and I love Bo. He's a tremendous young man. He's a North Dakota kid, as everybody knows, and I think that means something. And the big conversation for Bo has been coming back in the senior year is leaving a legacy at NDSU and winning a championship at NDSU. He unfortunately hasn't been able to do it because of the previous 3 years. The Bison have been to the final game, but they haven't gotten over the hump. So I think that's on Bo's mind. I know that's on his mind. I know he's motivated. And I think he's a big key to this, but maybe not in the sense that you think about where it's Mayo scoring 30 or Fiddler dropping 30, right? I think a huge stat for NDSU is when Bo shares the ball. NDSU is 8-0 this year when he has three or more assists in a game. And I think that could be incredible. I think back to the South Dakota State game. Like, that's what NDSU – if NDSU is going to win a championship, I think it's the Bowden Scumber that we saw at South Dakota State. He doesn't need to go off for 30. He doesn't need to, you know, nail the last shot necessarily. I think he's got it in him. But I think what they need is that tough chip-on-your-shoulder defense that we've seen from Bowden Scumber throughout his career. He had a double-double in that South Dakota State game. He had 14 and 11. He made big free throws. Yeah, he was physical. He scrapped for loose balls, as did the rest of the team. He shared the ball. And other guys like Lance Waddles knocked down key shots. Shakari White has been money from three. He's good for at least two a game at this point. The Bison have other good pieces. So I think that this is kind of a non-answer to your question, but I really do think that the sum of all the parts, man, like, I think it could pull NDSU through. And how fitting, right, when there isn't, like, a leader in the clubhouse as far as a team goes in this league standings, that it's sort of this team that's been laying in the weeds and figuring itself out throughout the 2 months of conference play that we've had. And, yes, they don't have, you know, a bona fide NBA prospect on the team anymore. But they do have a senior who, gosh darn it, is really tough-nosed, and he's a guy you'd want in your foxhole when it comes down to crunch time. And they've got a post player who's as skilled as anybody down on the low block that this league's seen in a few years. And they've got guys who can shoot. That's another underrated aspect for NDSU this year. They did have a good three-point shooting night against St. Thomas, clearly. But, I mean, who would have thought that this team would be top 20 in America in three-point shooting this year as far as percentages go? And you can't teach that. Like, if you don't have that, you're going to be in for a world of hurt in certain matchups. And they've got guys who can bang threes. Waddles is a really good shooter. He's gaining more confidence every day. Miller, we obviously know, can hit it from anywhere. Jakari White has had an outstanding junior year. He's got three-point shooting ability. Bowden has it, too. And the big guys have demonstrated as well. And I think it could be something that rallies and rescues NDSU if they need it in a big spot this year. So I know that's a lot. I literally just gave you sort of a whole rundown on everything. But to answer your question again, do they need a lead dog? Yes, I think Bo could be that guy for them. And I think he needs to be that guy, but maybe not in the way you necessarily think as far as high volume scoring or anything like that. I think they need his toughness, his physicality, the chip and the edge that he plays with to set a tone, and then everybody falls in place after that.
I felt like NDSU had kind of taken a step forward. I thought maybe that game in Tulsa was a big deal, and I'm not saying that it wasn't, but right. Man, did the air get let out of the balloon in Denver. I would be surprised if NDSU wins these next three games if they don't end up with the two seed. I know that mathematically it's not guaranteed, but you'd hand a loss to UND, you'd hand a loss to South Dakota State, you'd have a sweep of South Dakota State at that point. I just feel like by hook or by crook, if they do win the next three games, they'll be the number two seed. I think, as I mentioned, I thought that that win in Tulsa was the, okay, we're going to take two steps forward and not take a step back. Do you think the manner in which they won last night could actually be what sends this team forward in the way that they need to be sent forward to? I mean, truly, they want to get to where they're going. I'm not saying you can't do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, because they have before. But in a perfect world, they don't lose again until the NCAA tournament, right? And
oh yeah,
can that be what we saw last night?
I think that's a great point, Ross. And I think the coaching staff's really aware of it too. Like Coach Richmond has said, listen, we've been to the final game 5 years in a row, 7 of the last 9 in his tenure as a head coach, and 11 of 13 years overall. I mean, going back to Saul, right? I mean, that's pretty remarkable, and just use consistency in the postseason. But to your point, what if you made it a little easier on yourself, right?
Yeah.
What if you got to that top two line and gave yourself a day to catch your legs, to reset? That's indispensable. I am right there with you. That's why, yeah, I think for me, there's no turning back at this point, right? Denver was Denver. Like, you leave that, you know, a two-hour flight away, and that's in the past, right? I think they got that out of their system. You reset and you win nicely against St. Thomas. You hold them to 50. You executed the game plan well. You exploited their weakness, which is they don't have any size, and the Bison were able to dominate the glass and dominate the interior, and that chalked it up to a 14-point win, even when you didn't score a basket in the first 5 minutes, basically. So that's good news for NDSU. It can be even better news, yes, if they win these last three. And you know what? If they are going to get to where they want to go, and if they are going to get to where I think Bison fans want them to go, which is cutting down in nets and going back to the NCAA tournament, you got to win these three games. The two of them are at home. You've got everything in front of you with the two teams in front of you at home, starting tomorrow against UND. So, yes, I think that's huge. I think it's huge if you want to get into that top two. And let's put together a 7-game winning streak to close things out before you go to the big dance, if that's what it's going to end up being. I'm right there with you. I think it's incredibly important that they try and get the best seed possible. And, that two line, I think, look, like, you get to that two line. I think the one team, here's the one team that I don't, and I'd be very curious to see what you think about this, Ross, as far as a tournament draw in Sioux Falls. The one team that I think would be like, I you know what? I think they'd be capable of beating them because they've beaten them already this year twice. But seeing them a third time, odds, I don't know about that, is Kansas City. And I think if you stay away from this 4-5 line, which is where I think Kansas City's going to be, you should be in good shape as far as a good path. Obviously, you got to beat everybody to end up cutting down the nets and win three games. But if you're in that 4-5 line against KC, you know, you beat them twice, but both of them took overtime. I think Menzies is a really good coach too. I would say it's as long as you stay off of there, you're feeling pretty good about your draw.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think, you know, maybe going 2-1 over this stretch would accomplish the 3 line, but the Kansas City thing, and it really seems to not matter who the coach is, because it was that way when Donlin was there. They'll just get you into rock fight, and any team can win a rock fight, right? Like that's kind of the danger with them. One more thing, and then we'll wrap up here and kind of let you go. Just sort of set the stage for tomorrow. Your first NDSU UND game in Fargo. I don't think anyone in Fargo expected UND to be where they are in the league, and I don't think anybody likes it. You know, we spent a lot of time as Bison fans making fun of the – and it's true, unfortunately, and all credit to a guy that I really like in Paul Sather. In fact, I wish he'd take a different job. you know, they get treated as second-class citizens, because what season is it actually in Grand Forks right now?
Right, hockey season.
Hockey season. So, just your kind of impressions of that team, the job that Paul has done, and what we should be in store for tomorrow.
Yeah, I Coach Saylor does deserve a ton of credit. He should be a shoe-in at this point for Coach of the Year of the Summit. I'm right there with you, Ross. I didn't see this coming. I left the Fighting Hawks for dead when they were 0-3. I mean, they were 0-3 to start this year. They got crushed against Omaha before the Bison played them. And I thought, man, you know, I think this team's got some things to figure out. But they're 8-1 since. They went on the big seven-game winning streak to take hold of first, and here they are. They're deadlocked at the one spot with a chance to secure a regular season championship down the stretch. So all the credit to UND. I'm excited for this game because, you know, you got the opportunity to play at home on national television with CBS Sports Network coming to town. That's always something to get excited about. It's a rivalry game. I'm hoping that my personal fortunes in this NDSU-UND battle can change. I'm 0-2 against them now since coming to Fargo with the loss in football and then obviously losing up there a couple weeks ago in hoops. But, you know, I think it's a good battle because it pits really what I think is an underrated high-flying UND offense. I mean, they got four guys that I think are capable of popping off for 18, 20 a night. And with Iheanacho, who's been such a huge addition, getting him back into the fold, Omaha, Eagle Staff, and Kulubic, who obviously was the key difference in the first meeting between these two with the game-winning basket and a double-double. So, you know, can the Bison contain him on the offensive glass? That's huge. They gave up way too many offensive rebounds in the first game. I thought defensively, outside of that, they did a nice job. You know, they held UND to 60 points. They were, you know, scoring 80 and 90 a night in their winning streak leading up to that. So I think the Bison should be able to dictate the style of the game again. It's just a matter of finishing possessions. And it should be good. Like, it's good. It's good that this game is happening with the stakes that it has. It's good that it's going to be on national TV. And I hope we get a good crowd and as well for the women's game afterwards. I know it's a difficult scenario with, you know, two different television networks doing both games. So that's kind of what creates a gap in there. But, you know, Jory and his squad are really rolling, man. Another big win against St. Thomas. So it should be a really fun day inside the Shack. I'm looking forward to it.
100%. Get out to the game, folks, if you haven't figured out how to do so already. As Sam mentioned, nationally televised game against UND, some stakes, as we mentioned. If you want to see this Bison team dancing in March, it would behoove them to get to the number two seed, and beating UND tomorrow is key to that. And obviously, you know, the thing that you mentioned, that would be a tough pill. Obviously, NDSU in the Division I era has never been swept men's basketball, football. That would be a bitter pill. So get out to the Shack. Do your absolute best to make sure that does not happen. Sam, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you coming on. Thank to you all for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. And go Bison.